for praying for me over the last week or two. As most of you know, I was doing some travel in northern Africa. And the reason why I can't talk about the name of the country is because we're live on Facebook. And the place where I was is what we call a creative access country. And in the Church of the Nazarene, we have quite a few creative access countries where we have churches, where we have workers, where we have disciplers. And can I just tell you that whether it is a country that is easy to preach the gospel like it is in the United States, or a CAA country, no matter where it is, the church is alive and well, and the gospel is being preached, and the church is growing, and there are believers all over the world. So I'm very pleased to say that even in northern Africa, there are wonderful, godly leaders who love Jesus, and the church is alive and well. It might look different than what it looks like here. They would not gather in a building like this. They would not have a large facility. They probably wouldn't have a pastor that looks like me. That's probably a good thing. But church happens sometimes in living rooms, and sometimes at the coffee shop, and sometimes in a taxi, quietly whispering in the back seat. I had the privilege of being with one of our leaders, and I learned what it meant to have purposeful, long-term relationships. Not for the purpose of getting somebody in a church like this. That's not what missionaries often are doing in closed countries like that, like this. They're having long relationships because that person is created in the image of God, and they have value. And whether they come to a place of kneeling at an altar or praying the sinner's prayer or not, every single person deserves to have deserves value. And so all the time that I was there, I walked around with my friend, and we went to the butcher. And as we walked across the street, he said, "This is the butcher that I've been using now for 5 years. Every week I go see," and he gave his name. And he said, "We've become friends." In fact, he and his wife used to come to our house every Sunday evening to play games. And we just enjoyed having a relationship with him. And I remember as I walked in that really small butcher shop, and he saw my friend, the butcher saw my friend, his face just went so bright, smiled and greeted him. They were speaking in Arabic, and so I didn't understand, but I knew enough of the greeting that he was saying, "How are you? How is your health? How is your baby? How is your wife?" How they were so concerned with each other. Relationships. And then we'd leave his butcher shop and we'd go across the street to the produce shop where he'd get his bananas and grapes and oranges and whatever was possible there. And he knew the grocer's name. It was just it was about this wide and about twice that deep, a little souk as they would call it, and he had a great conversation with the manager because he had gone to that place once or twice every week for 5 years since they've been there, and they had a relationship with him. And we went to a restaurant where he has been going every week almost for almost 5 years, and he knows the manager. And the manager has become a friend of his. And as we went to the restaurant, the manager felt so comfortable with us that he just sat down and had a coffee with us, and we had a relationship. Through those relationships, the gospel is being expressed through value, through relationships, through stories, through families, through hospitality. And it just it was, I knew the truth of it, but it was once again a reminder of how important it is for us as we are doing our normal business. The gospel isn't only proclaimed in a facility like this. It's proclaimed by your relationships, by your conversations with your neighbors. Are you purposely going to the same bank clerk just to have a relationship? Are you purposely going to the same gas station where you know between this hour and this hour on a certain day, so-and-so will be there because he's always there? And how are you developing a relationship? What does hospitality look like for you? And it was just a reminder to me that I always need to be purposeful in asking the Lord, Lord, would you bring me to that person, that I am the perfect person to express the gospel through a relationship with him. That's really not even part of the sermon. I just wanted to say thank you for praying for me, and thank you for giving me the privilege of being a part of, some of you may not know, I'm one of the global directors of missions for the Church of the Nazarene. So during the week, I'm in Kansas City at the Global Missions Office. I help six regional teams as they mobilize new missionaries for the church. And then on the weekends and Wednesdays and some Tuesday nights, I get to come here and be your pastor. And thank you for understanding. I know it's kind of been difficult this last summer because my travel has just been awful. But thankfully, I think I'm home quite a bit this fall. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for understanding. Last holiday we had, which was Memorial Day, we did something a little bit different. We had a time of testimonies, and it went so well that I thought, you know, what if we started doing that type of service on Memorial Day and Labor Day weekends? And so that's what we're going to do this Sunday. It is so strange that sometimes we go to church with somebody for 10, 20 years, and we don't even know their story. We don't even know how they accepted Christ as a Savior or what they're going through. How many of you grew up in a church that had Wednesday night prayer meeting? Yeah, I mean, if you were a believer early in your years, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you had a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and that often meant testimony time as well. And we just kind of trained our people then that you could just stand up and give your testimony. And what that meant was, say, you know, you might tell how you came to Christ, but a lot of times it was what happened that morning when you burned the biscuits and you stepped on the cat's tail and you fell, and what, how did Jesus help and what did you learn? And it was just a wonderful opportunity to hear what we were all going through. And we've kind of got away from that for I don't know what reason, but I want to hear your stories. So we've kind of set aside days like this so that we can invite people to kind of tell their stories. And so the first person that I've invited is John Sutton. John, if you'll come up. Can we give John a hand? Isn't he wonderful? We love John. We love John. Well, John and I have been doing some travel together.
Amen.
In fact, we got wounded the same day, same morning, 3 weeks ago, and we're still alive and well. And it's just been great to get to know John and Jackie. They're great laymen here in our church. And the more I've been around John, the more I've heard his story. In fact, whenever we go on our work and witness trips, almost always they say, hey, is there somebody that can give their testimony? And most of the time, the majority of our people in the group give their testimony. Sometimes it's out in the neighborhood with a mic, with a big speaker, and there's about four
Hate
apartments.
That.
Yeah, there's four apartments that are hearing the stories, and some they're standing out on their deck listening, and sometimes it's in the church, and sometimes in a little Bible study. But I've heard John's testimony several times, and every time I've heard it, I've really appreciated it. So John, kind of start from the beginning. I understand you were born at a very early age, what kind of house did you grow up in, kind of talk to us about this process of how you accepted Christ.
Okay, well, before I do that, I do want to say, Jackie Sutton, you were not very kind to me today. you made us sing Jesus paid it all. Mm-hmm. And that is so central to what we're talking about and so central to this part of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's meaningful and it's important. Mm-hmm. And it just put me a little bit off center. Anyway, I grew up in a home that wasn't a Christian home, and I grew up down in southeast Kansas in Columbus, Kansas, and we didn't go to church. We weren't even the Mary and Marian church people. Once in a while...
not even Easter and Christmas.
No,
huh?
Easter, no Christmas, nope, none of it. But I did have some moments as I grew up where God put himself in my life just a little bit. And I hope this is encouraging to those of you out there who work with the kids and the youth and people as they come into the church, because I'm kind of a product of that. I remember distinctly a Christmas program when I was a little bitty boy, and such an impact on me. And I remember two VBSs in specific, one at a Baptist church not too far from our house and one in a Kwanzaa hut, and I have no idea what church it was. I know it was hot, but I know it was meaningful to me. And I remember names. Vernon Dillon was a reverend at the Methodist church there in Columbus, and he got my brother and I into church for a little while until my dad got a little bit upset about it. But so I think I heard the good news. I think I knew. Nobody stepped forward in a way to lead me the rest of the way. And so I wound up, after all of that, living my life, doing things that I shouldn't do with people I shouldn't be doing them with. I went through high school that way, and I went through college that way. And I eventually found myself here in Topeka, Kansas. And I went to work at Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and I met this person. I met this special person. This person cared about people more than anyone I'd ever known. In ways that I didn't understand. I found out that she was a strong Christian woman with deep faith, and found out that she prayed for me. She was nice to me. She had nothing to gain from me. She didn't owe me anything. And she was trying to give me everything. I typed this stuff up last night, and I've just about worn this thing in half, creasing it this morning, because I get so nervous about sharing this. I don't know why. I know that through her efforts, I started attending a church here in Topeka, and I joined the men's group there, and had a good relationship with some of those guys, and come to find out, Promise Keepers was just starting out, and a group of them was going to go, they were going to make the trip, and it's going to kind of be a guy's thing, and I thought, well, that sounds like that'd be all right, might be fun, and so we went to Denver, and it was at Mile High Stadium. And it was June 16th, 1995. And we weren't in the cheap seats. We weren't right next to the field. We were way up high. And I remember that first night they had an altar call. And I had zero intention of responding, standing up, paying any attention at all. And the next thing I knew, I was from way up here to way down here on that artificial turf. I understood why I was there. I had no idea how I got there. Not a clue. It's a convoluted way to get down there. I suppose I followed everybody else that was going down. The fellow that I met, his name was John Free. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Don't know why I remember, well, I do know why I remember his name. It's imprinted on my heart. And he put his arm around me, and we talked for a while, and he led me through the sinner's prayer, and everything changed. You ever have one of those moments? I remember when I held Laurel for the first time. Everything changed. It went upside down, and I didn't do anything. And I remember how I felt, how happy I was, how ashamed I was of where I'd come from. And I called Jackie. And I couldn't get the words out. She says she thought I was in an accident. Well, if it was an accident, it was the happiest accident in my history. I know that everything changed, and I knew that she had been faithfully praying for me for those years, and that she wanted very much for this to happen. And I knew how happy it was going to make her, and I just had to tell her. I'd like to say that it's been happy ever after, and it kind of has, but I still make my mistakes. I still do dumb things, and I just know that as long as I'm still trying, as long as I'm still praying, as long as I'm still reading, as long as I'm still attending with you, as long as I'm still putting forth the effort, I think I'm making progress.
You're doing a great job.
You can tell, sometimes I'm in here and I get pierced by one of your sermons, and you can tell, you can probably see it, because if you do, if you get me, I'm probably going to laugh just a little bit. And the reason I'm laughing is because, wow, he just hit me right on top of the head, or he just punched me right in the stomach. And, you know, I kind of appreciate that.
It's the Holy Spirit's work.
Yeah. I think that's what I got.
What do you think? Isn't that a great story? I want to have prayer for John. Father, there are all sorts of Johns all over our church community. Men and women who grew up not knowing much about Jesus, but just a little. They had just a little understanding, a little knowledge. And they have people around them, and some of them are here in this church today, who need to step out and who need to invite, who need to put their arm around those Johns and Marys and whoever they are, and just love on them and pray for them. Take the place of Jackie, who prayed for John and who loved him and who cared for him. And Lord, would you place people on our hearts even today? Amen. Maybe a neighbor, maybe it's somebody that we go to school with, somebody that we go to work with. And would you burden our heart to begin praying for them and inviting them into communities and just step into having a long, warm relationship with them? And all of a sudden, you begin to use those relationships to give us opportunities to love and to pray for and to answer questions, and we become the only Bible that they'll read. Amen. We're thankful, very thankful for what you did in John's life at that Promise Keepers. We're thankful for a lady like Jackie who loved and who prayed and was committed to John. We ask, Father, that you'll bless both John and Jackie, bless their marriage, Bless them as they lead others to Jesus, as others led them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, thank you. Love these stories. Well, we have someone else that has a little shorter legs. So we're going to come down here. Would you welcome Sharon Cole to come? Isn't she wonderful? Can we welcome her? Oh, if I got you up on that stool, I would have to carry you down. Well, Sharon, you are one of those ladies in this church that I have just thoroughly loved to get around. You and your dear husband were just wonderful representatives of the church. You loved Darla and me. You prayed for us. You cared for us. And you went through a pretty tough time over the last year, year and a half. And it was obvious that God was so involved. He was working with you. He was sharing his story with you through scriptures, through music. And I loved hearing how God was helping you guys. So I'd love to hear how you heard him over those last several months.
Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't know what I would have done without the Lord. Mm-hmm. And my story, because I'm old, my story goes back a long, long ways. But I'm going to start today's story on February 17th, 2024. First of all, for those of you that don't know me, I want to do a little background. Been around here a long time, and most of you know, have known Jimmy and I for many years. You became my safe people, and this is my safe place. And this is my first time since February 17th that I have publicly shared my grief story. I won't apologize for any tears. And John, bless your heart. You made me feel so good. Because emotion and tears are what it's all about when you love the Lord so much. Right. And he's done so much for you. It's hard to keep back the tears, isn't it, John? And so I'm not going to apologize if emotion comes into this because the story is tough. The scriptures say in Psalm 71:18, I have to use my notes because I can't remember the words like I used to. Even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not abandon me. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. So my prayer before I start my story is that I can get out of the way today and you may hear my words, but I pray that you see Jesus. This wouldn't be a story without him. So, and I hope my story touches someone today who's going through grief. Grief takes many, it looks differently for each and every person. And my story would be different than someone else's. And grief isn't always about death. Grief can be any kind of a loss. So many of you that have stories of your own, I hope this brings you comfort today. So my story begins actually before February, when I had started caring for my husband. For several years, like maybe five or six, when he started showing symptoms of losing his ability to do everyday things, dressing, caring for his, you know, personal needs, even eating. And so we knew that there was something going on, and we were sent to KU Med and here and there, And he was finally diagnosed with his name that is imprinted in my mind, but I still am going to have to read it in order to say it. But he was diagnosed with progressive supranuclear palsy. It's a multi-system degeneration of the autonomic nervous system. And the nervous system is that which operates all your internal organs. So the journey prior to his passing was really tough. And he wanted to be here every Sunday, and we were able to make that happen until the very end. And then it was just impossible. So he went to heaven, as I said, and held his hand. And it was very peaceful, and I knew it would be. So on February 17th, I didn't say goodbye. I just said, I'll see you soon. Goodbye seemed, it wasn't what I wanted to say. So my journey here on earth is to work towards that goal of reaching heaven and seeing him again. But I've got to tell you what has changed and where my story really centers around is how it changed me. I had to go through losing my husband of 55 years in order for me to be changed. What was important to me was no longer important. So my priorities changed, and I looked at life a little differently. I was changed to the very core, to be real honest with you. So I'm here today to tell you, I am changed, and I will never be the way I was 6 months ago. Because, you know, Jesus has worked a new work in me. And miracles have happened along the way in the healing process. The Lord has taught me so, so much. Just when you think you know, you think you got it all, and you know it all, even when you are a seasoned member of the congregation, I still learned. And so some of those things I want to be sure I share with you today, and the scriptures that were brought to mind. Isaiah 41:10 reminds me of the promises that God has made. And it's always my hope to dwell on those promises and to be reminded how he cared for me and how he cared for Jimmy. So the words say from Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you," and he has. "I will help you," and he has. "And I will hold you with my righteous right hand." I woke up about 3 this morning, and I hardly ever do this, but I woke up in the middle of the night with a song on my heart. And I had to get up and go get my hymnal out because it's one of those oldies. "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Help me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Take my hand. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost..." hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord. Take my hand. I felt like Jesus was there from, oh my goodness, the very beginning, just as he had been with us all of our life together. But my relationship with the Lord was something else that changed for the better. And as I started those first months alone and grieving with pain I had never known, the Lord was there. All I had to do was reach out my hand to take his. So now that I have learned to navigate my new normal, because I don't have my old one anymore, my new normal looks different, but that's okay. Because I've learned that change is hard and change is painful. But change can be good. And I've learned that the Lord loved Jim and I, and he continues to love me. And I know that I feel that love each and every day. So I come to this point in my 6-month journey with my grief, and it looks different today than it did 6 months ago. And I hope that those of you that know me the best, and that's my safe people, and that's you all, that you can see I have my smile back. Pain's still there. It's not gone. But the Lord has brought me to a point where I can say, I'm no longer just surviving, but I'm thriving. So what does the Lord have in his plans for me? I don't know. But I know he wants me to do something. Ephesians 2:10, and I like how the message says it, if I may read it from that version. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing, and that includes me. So my prayer at this point in my journey, my earthly journey, is that the Lord make me strong for whatever task he has for me. And I pray that he gives me the grace to be who I need to be and whatever I need to be, to do. And I know one of the jobs that the Lord has already started on me is the rebuilding process. For you see, my heart was broken into millions of pieces, like when I watched my Jimmy put together a puzzle. And he didn't do a million, but he did 1,000. And how he was able to put that puzzle together to make a beautiful picture. Well, I have to do my part of the Lord's work in putting the pieces of my heart together. I don't want to just sit back and, I mean, I want to stand there in awe of how it's happening, but I know there's more that I need to do. So, yes, losing my husband of 55 years and reflecting on the life we had together, we were blessed. And because of that, I'm going to have a go-to scripture, and it's going to be Psalms 13:6, where it says, I will always sing the Lord's praise, for he has been so, so good to me. Amen.
Great story, great testimony. Father, we are so very thankful for Jimmy and Sharon. What godly layman leaders they've been in all of our lives. Thank you for their stories. Thank you for the way they've shared their lives with so many of us in Bible studies and in fellowship times and over meals. Your grace that you've placed on their lives have been so obvious to us. And we're thankful for the way that you have blessed Sharon over these last 6 months. You have healed, you have mended, you have provided, cared for, and healed. And we're so thankful for the journey that you've taken her on. You have given her what she needs, and you've also given her a hunger for more. And we're so very thankful for that. We ask your blessings upon Sharon as she continues to walk this journey of discipleship. You'll continue to make her hungry for you, and she'll continue to love you and love us. And what a privilege it is to walk this journey with Sharon. And we ask your blessings on her in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sharon. I love these stories, and what you're hearing is really going on all over our family, isn't it? There's so many of the stories that I hear you tell me out in the hall or on the phone, and I'm just amazed and built up, and I want to somehow share them with the congregation. There's one more person that I'm going to have him tell his story. I don't know if you know him very well. He's got a couple nicknames. Some of us call him PT, others call him Pastor Tom. Would you welcome our friend, Pastor Tom, to come up? You know, there's this relationship that Tom and I have that many of you don't know. Tom and I have become very close friends. Have a seat, PT. There's a level of understanding that pastors have that a lot of people don't have. There's calls in the night. There's theological challenges. There's just stuff that we deal with that we kind of lean into those who know what's going on. Pastor Tom, when I came, Pastor Tom had been here for many years. How many years had you been here?
You've been about seven.
Seven, yeah.
7 years.
So he had been here. So he was the old guy already. He is a little older than me, so he is my elder. So I have to respect him. But
thank you.
But we've become very close friends. And we call each other, text each other. When I'm in another country, every day, he's texting me, telling me what's going on, sharing with me who's in the hospital, what prayer requests. And he is, I can say I have had dozens of employees as a pastor, but he is the most loyal pastor I've ever worked with. And I think we're honored to have PT on our pastoral staff. So thank you for allowing him to be part of this pastoral team. I highly respect him. Yeah. Highly respect him. But, you know, you just get to hear portions of our stories. And I wanted to make sure that you knew Pastor Tom's story. Did you know that there was a time that he didn't know Jesus, at least personally? He's not been this this perfect man that we know him today. But I don't know all of his story as well. And so I've just heard little bits and pieces. And we want to hear your grace story. We want to kind of hear how you grew up and how you came to know Jesus as your personal Savior. And you tell whatever you want and don't tell whatever you want. And next time I'll bring you up, you can tell the rest of the story.
Well, we talked on the phone.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the service. Mm-hmm. And then you said, well, I have somebody else that I want to have come up and speak. And, of course, he said, me. And I said, oh, Pastor, I don't think so. My background is pretty tough. So but you asked me. And because you asked me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I've been praying because I've, as you talked about being a pastor, I've pastored churches myself, and I've hinted at things through the years with those who attended my churches. It seems, though, as I've gotten older, though even more, I'm just being honest. I have become even more ashamed of who I was. And it's very hard for me to relate to it and talk about it. John, I have to tell you, where is John? Where'd he go? How could I miss you? Right there. This morning.
Yeah. He's the tall guy. The tallest guy in the whole building.
This morning you said Jesus paid it all, and I didn't know, but we're doing that. So Jackie, thank you again for leading us that. I didn't think I was gonna finish. It just touched me. The tears were just flowing back here because it's so true, and I'm so undeserving. I'm so undeserving to be up here. And Sharon, I love you. Thank you for sharing your heart this morning. Well, I was not raised in church as well. I was. We did go to Easter and Christmas at times. But I have to say that from the time that I was a little boy, that I heard his voice. I mean, I really heard his voice. I would hear him call to me. I wouldn't know exactly what that meant. And I want to say today to all of you, maybe many of you today, maybe you were raised in church. Maybe you came to God at an early age. You know, sometimes I think that people will think, well, I was just this. No, that's not a just to have come to Jesus when you were young. That is a good thing. That's not my story. That's your story. And any story with Jesus is a beautiful story. As I grew up, I would continue to hear his voice, and I didn't understand. It never ceases to amaze me as I'm going to relate a couple of things. Pastor, I just thought, what can I share to help relate the type of man I had become? I've kind of lost my thought here in that I just want to relay that God just continued to talk to me. I really didn't have anybody to turn to explain to me that. But I remember that my mom did give me a Bible when I was young, had my name on it. And I would, so many times I had a special place on the shelf that I would keep it. And I tried, so I would pick it up and I would try to read it. And I wanted so much to understand it. It didn't make any sense to me. I would always make sure it was clean. I'd put it back up on the shelf. as my life progressed, that Bible got put away. But his voice never stopped. And what I was going to say is it never ceases to amaze me, even as I was thinking about coming up and sharing with all of you today, that the darkness that I went into, his voice never stopped. But how I could hear his voice and be capable of the things that I did just never stops amazing me, how I could do that. And it was the voice of the Creator. You cannot convince me. I've had people through the years come to me and say, Pastor Tom, you don't understand what I've done. There's no hope for me. You cannot convince me. I don't say this. This is not a boast. There's nothing that anyone has said to me that they have done that I don't understand. And I want to say again today that there is no one that is beyond Jesus. So I'm going to tell you, as I grew a little older, I began to enter some areas in my life. And his voice became more distinct and more specific. And he began to speak to me and to warn me, to help to relate to this experience. And as Pastor Brent said again today, you can say what you want or not say what you want. Well, I choose not to say many things. So I'm going to tell you of an event that is something that stays in my mind that happened. This doesn't make me, I guess, not the worst person in the world or the best, whatever. You know, with Jesus, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how bad you were or what your, you know, maybe some would think your stupendous testimony is or whatever. It doesn't matter. Jesus is the same. And so he had continued to warn me the life that I was pursuing. One thing I want to share, John, as you shared about Jackie, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna share about my Debbie. So something that stays distinctly in my mind, and I thanked her again this morning when I was leaving for church. She had no idea from the time the guy that left to go away that she said yes to be engaged to, the guy that she ended up marrying. And so one of my times that I was getting ready to leave to go on one of my all-nighters, she stood at the door of the house that we're in at the time, and she said, if you leave this time, I won't be here when you get back. And I thought in my mind, good, great, you're in my way. You see, sin so darkens the way that you think that the things that so have great value in your life lose their meaning. The things that you cherish, you don't care anymore because you have chosen sin and all that it brings you, and that's what's important. So this was another time, and I had left, and I was at a friend's house, and I really care not to go into detail, except for I'd been there for quite a while, and I was under a tremendous influence of things that I'd taken into my body. By this time, it was into the night. Another fellow was there that we were very, very good friends. He'd been with me for years. And, I was just so gone that all I remember is us somehow getting into some kind of argument. And then the best thing I can describe to you is just like I just blacked out. But I didn't fall to the ground. But when I came out of this, there was my friend laying on the ground, his face all bloodied. That's what I did. I told you that God had been talking to me. And so we're here at this party, and there's all these people. Other people that I ran with saw the whole thing and thought it was funny. I'll never forget that. I can still see it just as clear as day. And I'm standing there. I don't know how to describe. But I heard his voice just as loud and clear. And he said one word. Now, you might not think God talks like this, but I tell you that he does. He said one word. He said, "See?" Well, at the time, too, I mean, there's all these women there, too, and I don't cry in front of women, but it just broke me. I couldn't get out of there any faster. I came home that night, and Debbie was used to the way I was. So here comes home this man and comes to bed, and I'm just bawling. So I didn't, actually, you had said to me when you were talking to me, you were going to say things like, who was in your life that brought you up, that led you to Jesus or whatever. I really just didn't, there really wasn't anybody. There were people around me, I was too dumb to know at the time, that I recognized later that they were going to church and that they had a relationship with God. But it really didn't, that didn't really happen for me. I really didn't understand about salvation. I didn't understand the salvation message. I knew of Jesus. I'd heard of Jesus, but I'd never heard it. So I didn't find out till later that I began to understand. I gave my heart to the Lord on the flight line, servicing my airplane. I just poured out my heart. I didn't know that day that I was born again. I had no idea. It wasn't until later I found out, oh, that's what that was. Oh, I was born again. So, Pastor, it is the grace of God that I sit here with you. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to... I mean, after I gave my heart to the Lord, and it's too much to tell today, and God, how God moved. And I ended up in this church, and I ended up, pretty quickly being in ministry. How I have served, I just think of Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me." That I've served in the Methodist Church, the Open Bible Church, the Four Square Church, the Nazarene Church. I don't deserve it. Yet, we're We are righteous in him. He sees us as the righteousness of God. And so, Jesus paid it all.
You know, as I hear your story, Tom, I it reminds me of all of those that we've seen in the Old Testament and New Testament. I mean, just go back with me. I mean, Moses, murderer. David, adulterer. Paul persecuted the Christians. But it was because of grace that every single one of those men, and there were many women in the same situation, their sins were forgiven, cleansed, made righteous, all because of a gift that we could not work for. You did not deserve freedom. You couldn't have purchased it, but it was because of the grace of God and the mercy of God. Remember, grace is giving to you what you don't deserve. Mercy is protecting you from what you really do deserve. So God gave Moses and David and Paul, Saul, Tom, Brent, us, both grace and mercy. Thanks be to God. I want to hear more of his story, don't you? Can we thank him and thank the Lord for what he's done? I want to pray for Tom. Father, we are so thankful for our friend Pastor Tom. We are looking at his story, and we are all finding bits and pieces of our own story and saying, same, we were there too. It might not have looked exactly like Pastor Tom's past, but we all were broken. We all were blinded by our sin. We all were in desperate need of forgiveness. And we did not deserve that. Our fellowship had been broken, and we were out in the dark. But somehow, the grace and the mercy of Christ gave us grace and peace and mercy. And we're so very thankful that you placed that upon our dear brother Tom. Thank you for the wonderful wife that you gave him and the great kids. And we've all been blessed by this family. And we ask your blessings upon Pastor Tom as he continues to tell his story and disciple others and love others to Jesus. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Love you, buddy. Thank you so much. You can take that. Well, I love these stories. And I think it's quite appropriate for us to move into a time of communion this morning. The scripture talks about how in the very last few hours of Christ's life, he met the disciples and he had a meal with them. And it was at that meal that he began to use the bread and the juice as representations, and he began to tell some theological stories using the bread and the juice. So we come to the communion table this morning. First, I'd like to invite the servers to come forward and just remain up front. the communion supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament which proclaims his life, his sufferings, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, and the hope of his coming again. It shows forth the Lord's death until his return. The supper is a means of grace in which Christ is present by the Spirit. It is to be received in reverent appreciation and gratefulness for the work of Christ. All those who are truly repentant, forsaking their sins and believing in Christ for salvation, are invited to participate in the death and the resurrection of Christ. We come to the table that we may be renewed in life and salvation and be made by one by the Spirit. In the unity of the church, we confess our faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And so we pray, Holy Father, we gather at this table, your table, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who by your Spirit has anointed to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, set at liberty those who are oppressed. Christ healed the sick and fed the hungry and ate with the sinners and established the new covenant for forgiveness of sins, and we live in the hope of his coming again. Could I invite all of you to stand this morning? If you'll come to any one of the middle aisles and receive the elements, please hold them and take them back to your seat, and we will take them together. Please come. Towards the middle. And so we gather as the body of Christ to offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on those, your gifts. Make them by the power of your Spirit to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one in Christ, one with each other, and one in the ministry of Christ to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us to pray, please pray with me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you, preserve you blameless until everlasting life. Eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Father, we have enjoyed the fellowship of community and communion this morning. And we're so very thankful for the stories of grace, of forgiveness, of redemption. We're very thankful for the way that you have radically changed our lives because of the shed blood of Christ himself. And we've partaken in that. And we're so very thankful. And we want you to know that we love you with all of our hearts. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. There's a chorus that many of us grew up with, and I've helped you sing it many times, and there are very few words. It just says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I love that story because it's our story. We could not be where we are today without people gathering around us like we are today and doing life with us. So if you'll join me in singing that chorus, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Sing it with me.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel.
Receive this benediction. I think I've told you several times before that Darla and I have read the books of Susie Larson, and she's just become a wonderful discipler for us. And over this last weekend, Darla and I read something that I want to share with you. as a blessing for you this weekend. May you pause this weekend to remember that your journey is as sacred as the destination. Whatever next place God has for you, He intends to meet you in this place where you now stand. He's hidden treasures in your valleys and grace in your shadows. He offers rest amidst chaos and peace in the middle of the storm. Instead of wishing your life away, pause today and pray, Lord, open my eyes to see you here. Help me to extract precious from the difficult. Help me embrace the everyday graces you've so richly provided. So may you find deep, abiding joy this weekend, simply knowing that you belong to a loving, invested, attentive Savior, and He intends to get you safely home. So now, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, go in peace, for He's already gone before you. You're dismissed.